Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Church, are we well? Man, it is a packed house today. Welcome to all of our campers. Give me a shout if you're at youth camp and you had a good time. Give me a shout if you're at youth camp and you encountered God. Give me a shout if you're at youth camp and you didn't shower. All right, so we've progressed on, so that's good. When I was younger, you didn't shower at youth camp, so that's good, and it smells nice in here today, so that's always nice. As Pastor Rick said, I am Richard. I look after the college here. I have the privilege of looking after the college at Nations Church, and it's also the privilege to come around the Word of God this morning. You know, college is not started for this year yet, 2021. We start in a couple of months. So if you do have any questions about it, you would have seen that guy who looks a little bit like me on the screen wearing a different shirt. Thank goodness I did that. We have an info night coming up this Wednesday. So if you have any questions at all about college, make sure you come along to that. And we'd be happy to help you along your journey if college is something you've been praying about or considering. Why don't you just join me right now, wherever you are, whether you're online or in the room, and bowing your heads and closing your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We just thank you that you're good. You're not a God who was far off and distant away from us, but you are a God who is so good, who is very present with us. And right now, Father, as we come around reading your word, your holy inspired word, we pray that we would just grow in our understanding of you, the love you have for us, and the calling you have for each and every single one of us. So, Father, I just pray that you would speak in this place and we would be receptive. We would have ears to hear what you are saying. And we pray these things in your Son's most holy and precious name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you, Warren. Give it up for Warren. The Woz Dog, as they call him. No one calls him that, just me. But, you know, it's never too late to start a nickname. I, like many people, I've got some frustrations and gripes in my life. You know, we're human. Right? Anyone else? Yeah, cool. We've got some things in our life, and I actually do something a bit weird where I've got a list of all of the things that annoy me. And so I know what you're thinking. You need to start one of those lists too. That's probably what you're thinking right now. But I've got a list of frustrations and gripes that I hold in my life. And I just want to let you guys all in on one of these gripes, one of these frustrations in my life that is just number one. This is like at the top of the list. So I'm sorry if you're here today or you're watching online and you fall into this category. But I got a problem with you. All right. So my number one gripe, my number one frustration is people who recline their seats on airplanes. Have we got any recliners in the place today? Any recliners? I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Richard, it's a function of the seat. I paid a lot of money for this ticket to have some really average airplane food and to recline my seat. Don't tell me that I can't do it. I've got a problem with you. Now, reclining seats, right? I get it, it's a function of the seat, but I just can't stand it. As soon as you get on the plane, you've got a TV screen literally right in front of your face. And there are three types of recliners. I've thought about this. I've got a list, all right? First type of recliner, they are somebody who, as soon as they get onto the plane, as soon as their bottom is about to touch down on the seat, no sooner has that happened, but their hand is straight on that button and they are, anybody one of them, where you are an instant recliner, I call those people some names, I call them the eager beavers, because they are straight away, bam, straight, and they're on it, and it's just like, the thought of sitting with good posture for more than 2 seconds is just atrocious to them. There's a few other groups, you know, there's the group that I sort of label the value seekers. They're the ones who really try and jam their seat back as far as it'll go. And they're kind of surprised, like, is that it? And they keep banging back and they go forward and then they go back and it didn't actually move any further. But in their mind, they're like, I just got another angle on that degree there. And so they're pretty happy. But the worst of all the groups, the worst of the recliners, and if you are one of these recliners, I want you to know this morning, if you're watching online, that there is grace, there is forgiveness, and it's all found at the foot of the cross. But the worst type of recliners are those people who recline during mealtime. Mm. During mealtime. That's not on. That's not on. I know, go there. This is straight from the Bible somewhere. That is not on. Let me tell you, I call these people annoying, because that's exactly what they are. And if you are here today and you're one of those people, don't raise your hand. But the pastoral team, they're here for you. They love you. So does Jesus. I'm on a journey, so I take more time to love you. But that's okay. Recliners, all right? Recliners. The only thing that I hold on to is that, you know, if anything goes wrong with a plane, you know, I'm in a good position, right? The recliners are in trouble. I'm straight away to like the exit seats. But that's okay. Maybe that's a bit morbid. But as I was actually thinking of this reclining theme during the week, because I was, you know, just making some additions and tweaks to my list that I have there, the Holy Spirit actually began to speak to me about this thought of being reclined in our life. You see, as people, as believers, as Christians, we can spend a lot of our life just sort of reclined on autopilot, not ready for action, not ready to move, but just sort of chilling back, just, you know, being reactive, not being proactive, but being reactive and reclined. And the summer camp theme this year was arise, right? The summer camp theme was arise, and as I was preparing this message, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about this theme, and so that's what we're going to speak about. You are getting the summer camp experience, 11 a.m. service at Nations Church. So if you didn't go to summer camp because you're too old and you had a bit of FOMO, now's your chance, okay? Now's your chance. Now, the word arise actually implies action. We see arise used lots throughout our scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament. And this word is used with variations at different times. Sometimes it's used to speak of somebody actually being raised from the dead. At other times, it's used to speak of our, I guess, how we are raised metaphorically with Christ through salvation. But a lot of the times when you see this word arise used, it's actually just a really basic functional meaning. In the Hebrew, the word is kum, and in the Greek, there's a few different words there. There's agiero and anastamia, and the word is simply just about getting up. Standing up, rising up, doing something. There's an action, there's a call. And all throughout our Bible, we see the call come from God to people at different points of time saying, arise, get up, stand up, do something, stand up and be counted. And I want to jump into one of my favorite passages of scripture this morning, a passage that actually speaks of a moment where God calls somebody to arise. And we jump in contextually in chapter 9, verse 1. We're jumping into a passage that speaks on the conversion of Paul. And at this point, we're familiar with him as Saul, which was his Hebrew name. And we jump in verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, that is, followers of Christ, either men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Arise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Verse 10. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. It's a crazy passage so far, right? There's a lot going on. We've got a couple of significant encounters there. First of all, we got Saul. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but it's not every day blinding light comes down from heaven and you become blind. You hear the voice of God. Maybe it is, but if it's not, you're probably with me on that one. And we see this other encounter here happen with Ananias, this guy who's just seemingly chilling out, minding his own business, and he's given an instruction to arise. And it's a pretty crazy specific instruction as well, because it's not just like, hey, Ananias, arise, do good things with your life. It's, hey, go to a specific street. Find a specific house, find a specific man, because this specific man has a specific vision of you coming. There's a lot of specificity in the Bible sometimes. What is Ananias' response? Verse 13. Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. Pretty normal response. This guy is after the Christians. I'm a Christian. I don't want to go pray for him, God. Who would be like that? They'd be like, wait a second, this is a trap. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. We could read on in this passage, and you would understand from just a general understanding of Paul and his life what he would go on to do. In fact, the disciples were a little bit wary of him for a while, which is understandable. They're just like, are you sure this guy's changed? I mean, before you weren't a massive fan of us. So, I mean, I'm not too sure how we can take this guy. Is he trying to bring us down from the inside? But what we see is Paul begin to just, his life just radically transforms and changes. And I want to delve into this passage a bit deeper and look at some imperatives for us as believers if we are to be people who arise. See, we would all want to be Christians, believers, people who stand up and accounted for. We want to be people who arise in our life. We do, right? But there are certain things that we must make sure we are doing if we are indeed people who are going to be, if we are indeed a church who is going to step up and arise, if we are going to respond to the call. And the first point I want to speak about today is that we arise when we encounter. We arise when we encounter. If we want to be people who arise, it needs to start with seeking and encountering God. If we want to be people who arise, it's not just the encounter is not the arise moment. No, encounter precedes it. We need to start and understand that God is a God that actually encounters us. That God is not a God who is far off and just understood, but he is a God who wants to encounter each and every single person in this room, online. He wants to encounter us. And we can be a bit funny as Christians, I think, at times when we speak about encountering God, and we think about all the different ways in which we do encounter God, and we might say, you know, it needs to be this. It needs to be gold dust. It doesn't need to be gold dust. You know, it needs to be like, we saw two very different types of encounters in that passage, right? The thing we just need to nail down on is that God encounters. We can't make a formula about something that is unformulated. God encounters are for his people. They happen. We don't need to get hung up on how it looks. But the one thing that we need to have straight in our minds when it comes to encountering God is that encounters are not just for yourself. Encounters are not just for you. Encounters are not just so that you feel good about yourself, so you go, oh yeah, cool, man, like I've got things under control. No, encounters are about preparing you for what you are called to do. If you look all throughout Scripture, time and time again, where we see a crazy move and encounter of God, it's not just so that God just rocks up and be like, yo, I'm God, I can do cool things. No, but it's about encountering and preparing his people for the mission, for the call, so that they would stand up and arise. Think about Moses. Moses has a pretty cool encounter with a burning bush. You guys familiar with that? Yeah, pretty crazy encounter. Now, some of us, if we were Moses, we'd just hang out by the spot that we had that encounter moment, and, you know, we'd start worshiping at that moment, and we'd charge entry to the side and just be telling people, man, burning bush moment, that's pretty crazy. We get a tattoo of it on our arm, if that's where you're going. We'd be like, man, it was so cool, what an encounter. And then someone asks you, so what's God been doing in your life recently? You'd be like, well, 30 years ago, you're not going to believe this. There was a bush, but it was burning, but it kind of wasn't at the same time, and God spoke to me, and you've done nothing. Because you've just held on to that encounter moment. And maybe some of you young people who have been at camp this week, God has encountered your life and he's changed something in your life. And you're just like, man, this is so profound. I understand who I am. I understand who God is. Let me tell you, encounter comes before arise. The arise moments start now when you return home. And that is for every single person in this place, right? We have those moments where we encounter God. It's about preparing us. It's about preparing us to arise for what he has called us to do. That moment with Moses, it wasn't for him just to God be like, yo, I'm so powerful, I'm God, burning bush, what of it, and then just drop it like it's hot and leave. No, it was about actually preparing in Moses that moment where he would arise, he would go to Egypt, and he would lead his people out of slavery. And I just wonder if we are a people who encounter God in this place. Because if we are truly to be people who stand up and arise in our spheres of influence, then we need to be people who encounter. Second point I want to speak about today is that we arise when we are positioned. We arise when we are positioned. Ananias actually responds, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. It's a phrase that's not new to our Bible. We see it all throughout Scripture.
All throughout our Old Testament, we see times where Abraham responds to God saying, "Here I am, Lord." We see Samuel saying, "Here I am, Lord. Speak, your servant is listening." We see Isaiah saying, "Here I am, send me." All throughout our Bibles, what does that phrase do? It implies that they are ready for action. They are ready to move. That when you speak, God, I will answer. When you call, I will respond. When you say arise, I will arise. We see it all throughout Scripture. I just wonder, as a church family, how often we have times where maybe we feel a prompting, we feel the word of God come to us, we feel as something presents itself, whether we see it or whether we hear it, because we aren't positioned. See, we can go through life reclined. We can go through life in states where we're just going through the motions and we walk straight past opportunities and we walk straight past somebody saying something that should spark within us something where we step up and arise and speak life into their situation, but instead we walk straight past it. A couple of years ago, I was preaching at the AM services at our Myoree campus, and it was in between the 9 a.m. and the 11 a.m. service. And I just, you know, preached a decent word, I think. You know, it was a good time. Like, we had fun. And at the end of it, I was just chilling out in between the services, go to the toilet, get a drink. And as I was heading back into the auditorium, I was just like, man, I just got to get backstage, tweak a couple of anecdotes, you know, maybe clean that up a little bit. I didn't really know what I was saying at that point, so we'll adjust that. Yeah, as you do, right? I'm just being diligent. I'm walking through the auditorium, and I see somebody sitting in this section over there, and he's just by himself. He's sitting there. No one else in the auditorium except him and me. And I feel like a real subtle prompting, just go, Richard, go speak to him. There's someone who's sitting alone. Maybe that's a picture of how they feel on the inside. And I walk past, and we actually lock eyes, and then another voice in my head says, go fix that anecdote. And in my wisdom and brilliance as a leader and a pastor and a teacher, I walk backstage to the green room, and I just tweak my sermon instead. I end up getting on stage for the 11 a.m. service, and I lock eyes with this guy again for the second time. And he was the only guy. He probably thought I was a freak because I was just staring at him. And the Holy Spirit was just beginning to convict me. Holy Spirit actually said to me, do you think you're too significant to reach out to him? And I'm like, trying to preach the word of God. I'm trying to preach your word, Holy Spirit, and now you're convicting me? Stop giving me two words. It's very confusing. I'm trying to preach a sermon. At the end of the sermon, there's response and altar call. And he comes down the front. He was the only person I actually prayed for at that altar call, because we were there down at the front for about 20, 30 minutes just chatting. And he begins to share to me how he's been in church quite a bit recently, but he still feels so incredibly isolated. And I had a moment. I had a moment when I walked past him there at the start. And because I wasn't positioned, because my eyes weren't opened, because my ears weren't opened, I missed that. And I decided and said, no, I'll go do that, because I wasn't positioned. And we began to chat to it, and afterwards I was able to pray and minister to him. I was crying, he was crying, Pastor Kim Fletcher was crying, because that's just what he does. He wasn't even related to that. He was just standing over there weeping. I was like, dude, come on. We're running out of tissues because of you. But I wasn't able to arise because I wasn't positioned. I had a moment to, but I didn't, because I wasn't positioned. Third point, we arise when we are obedient. We arise when we're obedient. Now, we love on Ananias in this passage, and rightly so. We're like, Ananias, you're a legend. You're flipping legend of a disciple, just some dude, humble guy, going about his life, and then bang, he does this action, and it stems forth this amazing move of God through Paul's life. But his first response actually isn't so sure about what God's telling him to do. Verse 13, he says, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. He's just, you know, pretty sound reasoned logic from Ananias. He says, wait a minute, I'm a Christian, he doesn't like Christians, you want me to go pray for him? So that's what he says to God, and God responds back to him. But really, God's response, it still doesn't make the action make sense. Ananias is still being called to do something that he thinks is a little bit dumb. Has anybody been in a position where you feel like God's calling you to do something and you look at what he's calling you to do and you go, God, are you sure? Are you sure about that? That doesn't make much sense. But what do we see with Ananias? He responds with obedience. Obedience is easy when everything lines up, right? Obedience is so easy for us to act out and walk in when it makes logical sense. But when things don't line up, when it doesn't make sense, when maybe you're going into a job that you feel called to and it's a big pay drop. When things don't make logical, rational sense for us, that's when obedience is tested. And if we don't act in obedience, when things don't line up, when things don't make sense, where's our faith? In facts or in Jesus? That's the question for us, right? When we don't act in obedience, we're really given a decision. Well, what is our faith in? Things don't make sense here. And sometimes I feel like we have those conversations as believers, right? We're like, God, this doesn't make sense. And he's probably like, newsflash, read the Bible. Open up to any page. There's probably some things in there that don't make sense because I'm doing some mighty work. Last point I wanted to share on today is that is probably less of an imperative for us, less of something we need to get in first, but it's actually the response to when we do arise. When we as a church, when we as believers arise. When we arise, it has exponential power. Exponential power. We know how this story plays out, don't we? We know what happens in Paul's life. He goes on to be one of the most significant voices in Christian history. In fact, a voice so significant, not just in the New Testament era, but also in our time period today. How many churches across the world are opening up the Bible right now and they're sharing around the thoughts and what we see of the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul in our New Testament letters. Paul has been such a significant, and it all started with one dude, some guy who encountered some random guy who was positioned. Some dude just sitting there, just, you know, going through his ordinary life, who was obedient, and the exponential power and growth on the back end of it is just so incredibly beautiful. Think about the people that came to know the love of God through Paul, and it all stemmed from a moment where one man made a decision, right, that he would was going to encounter, position himself, and be obedient. Think of your life. Think of all the encountered, obedient, positioned people that made an impact on you coming to know the love of God. Who's got just like so many people running through their head right now? That for me, it was my sister. She was the one who one day when I was 17 years old knocked on my bedroom door and said, hey, God's told me to pay for you to go to a summer camp. And I didn't believe in God, so I was just like, all right. She pays me to go on a summer camp. I go to this summer camp. 2009 it was. That makes me old. 2009, and I encounter God. Long story short, I encounter God for the first time. It completely changes my life, right? Completely changes. I encounter him, right? I then begin to realize that I need to position myself. I need to be obedient. And God actually tells me, go back to your high school, and I want you to run a Christian ministry there. And I was just like, you know when you're just like pumped up with the Holy Spirit, full of faith, and you don't really know what else to do, so you just do random stuff that you think looks right? And so we get back to our school, and I grabbed the only other guy that I knew was a Christian. His name was Murray, and I said, you will be my best friend now. Come with me. And we start this sort of Christian group in our high school, and we're running sort of services, and we're preaching, we're getting people to share devotions. We get like some other non-Christian dudes to join a worship band, and they were just like, what on earth is a Planet Shaker or a Hillsong? And we're just like, it's like Nickelback, it's cool, bro. That's Christian rock right there. And so we started doing all those things. We even were like running outreach. Like we were setting up connect groups in our high school. It was a bit wild thinking back, like, why were we running connect groups? And we had people in charge of different year levels and all of those things. And it started with my sister's one moment where she encountered, positioned, obedient, and then she decided, I will arise. See, my sister didn't know. She didn't know about the people at the end. My sister didn't even know that when she knocked on my bedroom door that night, that when she would come inside, there would be a kid there who was messed up, broken, and hated himself. That when she came through the door, slipped the blade that was pressed up against his skin from self-harming into his pocket to hide, and was told about this summer camp that she was going to pay for because some God told her about it. She didn't know that I was on the other side of that. Well, she did. She's my sister. I lived right next door to her. But she didn't know that what was going on in my life. And she didn't know about the people that would come to know God through the faith moments in me when I would choose to arise. And Ananias didn't know. Ananias, we don't see Ananias. And he didn't know what would come on the back of Paul coming to know the love of God. And we don't know. We don't know. Actually, we do know. We know that when we encounter, when we position ourselves, and when we're obedient, we know that God can move with exponential power, don't we? So then the question is, if we do know, why don't we sometimes? That's the question for us as believers. If we were to like flip it on its head and be like, if Ananias knew exactly what was going to happen, all the people impacted through Paul's life, and he didn't act in obedience, we'd be like, oh, Ananias, like, look at what could happen. But it's the same for us as believers. We know that God can move in mighty, miraculous ways. We don't know who we can impact. And let me tell you, it's worth it even if it's just one. It's worth it even if it's just one that you will never meet, that you will never know, the impact that will perpetuate itself. When we arise, it has exponential power. And I think maybe some of the reasons why we don't arise in our life is there are some things that are maybe holding us back. And I think one of them, and people say like complacency is a new thing in the church. If you read the New Testament letters, it's not. They were struggling with it then, just as much as we struggle with it now. But I think sometimes we can just find ourselves in relation to our faith on autopilot, right? Going through life super complacent. And there might have been times where it's like, man, I was just, you know, God called me and I did that and I was, but then you're just sort of in this lull sort of holding period, where you're reclined. And so what happens then, there's this slow erosion. You sort of miss moments where God really wants to speak into your life, when he's trying to catch your attention, listen, open your eyes, you're not positioned. And then what do you do? Well, you don't choose the path of obedience. Complacency can be a horrible thing. And I think it grips so many people in our church. I know such significant periods of my life, I found myself in that. And let me tell you, the only remedy for that is encountering God. That's the only remedy for that. There's no five-step plan. It's a one-step plan. Encountering God. The other area is, I think that sometimes we just doubt. And this doubt thing happens, right? We get it. And we doubt what God has called us to. And so we don't arise because God calls us to do something. We don't do it because we don't believe that we're capable. What we're really doing is, yes, we're doubting ourselves, but ultimately we're doubting God. Because the power is from God. The only thing that qualifies, yeah, we are incapable, but the only thing that qualifies us and makes us capable is what he has accomplished on the cross, is what he has accomplished within every single one of us. And I want to be a part of a church that when the call comes, we arise. That's the church I want to be a part of. That's the believer that I want to be, that when the call comes from God, I stand up. I'm not living my life missing opportunities, missing moments where I don't stand up. I want to stand up and be accounted for. I want to arise. I want it to be like when we see Abraham and God says, you know, I'm going to lead you through this land and your descendants will inherit. And I want to arise like Abraham. And when he calls to Moses and he says, you know what? You're returning to that place that you ran from. And now you're returning there and you're leading them out of slavery. I want to be like Moses and actually stand up and say, I will arise. I want it to be like Joshua and he says, go and take that land. Like David when he says, go and conquer that battle. Like Solomon when he says, go and build that temple, arise and do it. And I want to be like Ananias when he says, go. There's someone there. Arise. Get up. Stand up. Rise up. Do something for my name. Act out what I'm calling you to. It's the type of church I want to be a part of. That's the type of believer I want to be. Amen? Amen. Hey, why don't you, wherever you are, whether you're watching online or you're here in this room today, why don't you just bow your heads and close your eyes? We're going to do something that we do at every single Nations Church service, and it's allow a little bit of time for people to respond to the love of God. And I've spoken, you know, so much about, I guess, us arising in our life, but some of you, you might be thinking right now that you just don't even feel raised to life with Christ in the first place. You feel like you don't have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. You feel like you're disqualified from this faith, maybe because of areas in your life, things you've done wrong, or you just haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, declare Him as Lord and Savior over your life. And so whether you are watching online or you're in this room, with nobody looking around, we're just going to provide a moment to respond. And when you respond, all you're doing is you're acknowledging, yes, I cannot do this life alone. Jesus, I need you as Lord and I need you as Savior. That's all it is. It's as simple as that. And then we'll lead you in a prayer. But what it is a beautiful moment. We see almost Saul's moment for that, right, in the passage we read earlier. And so maybe right now the Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart, calling you home. Maybe you're sitting at home in your lounge room and the Holy Spirit is so calling you back to the love of the Father. And so I'm going to count down from three, and either in this room or online, all you've got to do is just slip up your hand and then we will pray this prayer as a church family. So if that's you, in three, you want to respond to the love that God has for you. Two, in recognizing Him as Lord and Savior. One, if that's you, just lift up your hand either online. Yeah, I see that hand. That's so good. That's amazing. Praise God.
beautiful. Either in this room or online, we don't need to rush this. There is always time for the Holy Spirit to move, and we should never be complacent with Him encountering His people. Christians, pray with me. God, right now, whether you responded online or in this room, it doesn't matter, because God is here. He is the very present God made manifest in the Holy Spirit. And He was first made manifest in Jesus in purchasing your salvation. Why don't you repeat this prayer after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you purchased salvation for me, for my sin, and the sin of the world. Right now, I declare you Jesus as Lord and as Savior over my life. That I am forever changed, born again, made new, made whole, a follower of you, Jesus. We pray these things in your Son's most holy name. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's give it up for those people that responded, whether they were through the screens or in the room. If you did respond online, we've got a website you can go to, nationschurch.com/my decision. If you responded in the room, our pastoral team would love to get in touch with you later, lead you through what that decision actually was. But I want to speak to the rest of us now in this moment, because I believe firmly that we are a church called to arise. And yeah, lines up with the summer camp. But I believe this is a word for us as a church family, that we would no longer sit at the status quo, sit being reactive in our life, being reclined, but we would be proactive, that we would take the first step forward. Because I tell you what, some advancements of the enemy in the world and lies and deception that comes with the enemy. And if we are sitting reactive, we're not on the front foot. We need to be a people that actually stand up first and arise. Why don't you stand to your feet in this place? And if you're online, why don't you just stand up, make yourself comfortable, and begin to engage and posture yourself right now, all in this place. Lift your hands actually in this place. Jesus. Right now, take a posture and a position in your life right now, and I just want to ask you a few questions. And the only person you need to be honest with these questions is yourself and God. Is yourself and God. These questions are simple. Are you encountering God? Or have you gone through a period in your life where it just seems like you're not encountering Him anymore? Where you just, it seems to stay. Are you positioned? Are you just on the recline? Are you just not positioned to hear, and you walk past opportunities or things don't seem to spark anymore? Are you positioned that your eyes are open and your ears are open? I believe there's specific people in this room right now that this question applies to. Are you being obedient? I believe that there's people in this room right now where the Holy Spirit's been talking to you about something. It's been this ongoing conversation, but for you, you've been struggling with the facts not lining up. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter if the facts don't line up. We serve a God who calls us to obedience. It doesn't matter if you're any one of those people. Whatever group it might be that complacency thing, or maybe it's the doubt that's maybe stopped you from stepping up and arising in your life. But I want you to do, it's just something really brave. If any one of those areas is speaking to you and calling you, it might be that complacency thing where you've just been going through the motions, and now is the time. God is saying, arise. It's our decision where we stand on that, or whether we just keep going through the motions. Or maybe it's doubt. You feel disqualified. You don't feel like you're capable. You don't feel like you're able. So let me tell you right now, stop doubting. Come encounter God. Get a fresh revelation that you are a son, a daughter, more than a conqueror. We're going to do something. It's real simple. The band's going to lead us in this song. I just really want to encourage you. I believe there's some specific people in this service today, and God is calling you to actually physically respond as a symbol that in your life, you will arise. That maybe the Holy Spirit's knocking on the door of your heart right now saying, come on, come on, I want you to stand up. Those areas that you've been putting off, that school that you're going back to now that you're back from summer camp, that business place that you're a different person in than you are with the rest of the week. Now God is calling you to arise, and you're left with the response. If that's you, come on, why don't you come down the front? Lift your hands just as a posture of saying, God, I surrender. I surrender. Just a moment between you and God. If that's you, come out of your seats, come down to the front and say, God, you have it all. God, you have it all. God, you have it all.
every single part of me. There's nothing that I'm withholding from you. I'm sick of living life in complacency. I'm sick of going through the status quo. I'm sick of doubting that, God, you have called me and I just keep doubting. God, come on, respond right now. The only remedy to any of these things is found in encounter him afresh.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.